Your next speaker is Eddie Parrish.
Be successful in today's world, you have to play by the world's rules. We might be tempted to say true to that. We hear about it being a dog-eat-dog world, and how because there are so many people in the world today that lack a lot of integrity, that if we're going to be successful in whatever it is that we do as far as our work is concerned, that we have to play by those rules. Or else we can rest assured we'll not be successful. Yet, if the life of Daniel has anything at all to say to us today, then perhaps we should rethink the answer to that question. Daniel was a man who, by anyone's standards, would be considered very successful. If you have your Bibles, open them to the book of Daniel. We're going to look tonight at a man who was very successful, yet did not compromise God's will. So I've entitled the lesson tonight, How to Have Success Without Compromise. And as we look at Daniel, beginning in chapter 1, we notice a number of things about him that indicate what a successful man he was. We learn from verses 3 and 4 of chapter 1 that Daniel was among those of the nobility, those that were endowed with much wisdom. As the Babylonians came in and took Judah captive, one of the first things that they would do would take those of the younger men, those of royal descent, those that they felt like would work well in the palace. They would take them first, and Daniel was among the ones taken. We also learn that once he got to Babylon, he experienced even more success as he was able to rise in rank among those that were serving in the palace of the king. Chapter 1, verse 17 speaks of him having knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. He and his friends were, according to chapter 1, verse 20, 10 times better than all the others that were there doing the same work. We see later in chapter 2, verses 48 and 49, that he would ultimately be made ruler over the whole province of Babylon and was the chief administrator over all the wise men. In chapter 6, verse 3, after the Babylonians are conquered by the Persians, Daniel is given very similar responsibilities by the Persian government. So we might look at Daniel as an example of great success, and it would be right to so look at him. But have you ever stopped to wonder how Daniel could have the success that he experienced while at the same time not playing by the world's rules? What was it that enabled him to reach the levels that he reached without compromising his convictions and without compromising the will of God? I want to offer you four things tonight that can help us to understand how to have success without compromise. And they come from the life of Daniel. Number one, Daniel was a man of purpose. Daniel was a man of purpose. Look at chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel was a man who had purpose. Now you think about his situation and put yourself in his sandals. Walk a while with Daniel. We know that he was young at the time. How young? Who knows? But considered a youth. Late teens, maybe. Early 20s. a young man in a foreign country. Think about how you might feel if you were uprooted out of this country and taken somewhere else as a young person. Not only were you in a foreign country, you were in a foreign country under circumstances not of your own choosing. You're enslaved. You were taken to that foreign country not of your own free will. You're young. You're in a foreign country. Enslaved. How many unknowns are there in a situation like that? From day to day, what we probably could not even list the things that might pop into our heads as to what might happen, what could happen. So many things that were not stable. And in a situation like that, how easy would it be for us to begin to think that, you know what, the best thing for me to do, perhaps to even survive, is just go along to get along. Let's not make any waves. Let's not ruffle any feathers. I'll just blend in with the crowd and hopefully be able to survive this ordeal. That might be the way we think, might not. But one thing we know, and that is that Daniel had a purpose in his heart. One translation says in verse 8, Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself. Despite the pressure that there may well have been to conform to all of these things that they were going to be asked to do, Daniel made a decision, a firm decision, that he would do nothing that would defile himself. He was going to uphold the law of God as it pertained to him, come what may. That's purpose. And according to verse 9 of chapter 1, because of that, God granted Daniel favor in the eyes of others. Now, before we finish this evening, we're going to come back to God's part in all of this. But just remember at this point that Daniel, because he resolved, because he made up his mind, because he made a firm decision that he was determined to stay with, God caused him to find favor in the eyes of those with whom he was dealing. He was much like Joseph. When Joseph was placed in certain positions, Potiphar's house, what happened? Raised to a high position. After the incident with Potiphar's wife and the lies told about him, he ends up in jail. What happens when he gets there? He ends up being in a high position. Also, when he gets out of jail into Pharaoh's house, same thing. Why? Because Joseph was of the same spirit, who was a man of purpose that was going to do God's will come what may. And we ought to be like that too. We ought to be people of purpose, people of determination. Not people that are wishy-washy, fickle, that might go wherever the winds might blow us. We ought to be people that, as a general rule, have a sense of direction for our lives, that have a sense of purpose. And when you live with a strong sense of purpose, that will oftentimes breed in your peers respect and admiration. Because the people that you're around will see that life doesn't mess you up. Life doesn't get to you, regardless of what life might throw your direction. I was thinking about this afternoon after I had just a brief opportunity to visit with Larry Evans this morning. And obviously Larry and his family are going through a terrible, terrible time. I can't imagine what I would be like if one of my children were in the position that his is in. But one of the things that impressed me this morning was, though Larry I know is hurting so terribly, yet there was a lot of strength in him and is still. Why? I think it's because he is a man of purpose. See, he's got life figured out. And that come what may, he's going to serve God. And so whenever things as terrible as what's happened to him happens, though we hurt, though we grieve, though we shed tears, it doesn't derail us. It doesn't overwhelm us and overcome us. And it starts by being people that have made a determination, a resolve, that come what may, I will serve God. That's the kind of people we need to be. And our purpose is to glorify and honor God in all that we do. We were created for His glory. Isaiah 43:7. 1 Peter 4:11 says that in all things, in speaking about the things that we may do with our lives, he says that in all things God may be glorified, honored. That's what we're here for. And so as we go about our activities, whatever they may be, in whatever line of work we're doing, we ought to think about handling each situation that comes up in a way that brings honor and glory to God. And if we would think that way regularly, it would show to others that we are people of purpose. But not just any purpose, we are people of the purpose. And I assure you, people will be impressed by that. Not that that's what we're after, but it may offer us an opportunity. It may open a door for us. For people to look at us and see the stability that we have and come and say, you know what? I don't know what it is you've got, but I want some of it. Life doesn't get to you. Nothing throws you. Nothing gets you off course. What is it that you have that enables you to do that? Daniel was a man of purpose. And that kind of determination will certainly guarantee God's favor toward us. Be people of purpose. Number two, Daniel was a man of principle. Daniel was a man of principle. Again, from verse 8, chapter 1, latter part of the verse. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Notice that Daniel, based upon his sense of purpose, then refused to compromise those convictions. But what I want for us to notice right here is how he went about that. Look at how he did it. Daniel did not, with rudeness and abrasiveness or disrespect, or a sense of fanaticism. That wasn't the way in which he approached standing for his convictions. He was polite, gentlemanly, and yet with resolve, requested that he not defile himself. It's possible for us to refrain from compromise while at the same time being nice. Yet I've run across folks that I guess for some reason don't think you can do that. Or at the very least, they haven't figured out how to do it. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Colossians 4, verse 6. You can be a person of principle, standing firmly for your convictions without being rude without being unkind. Daniel was that way. Read through the first chapter and see how he dealt with the situation. And people admire, generally, men and women of principle. Now, there may be occasions when someone might ridicule you outwardly because of your convictions. That'll happen. Maybe they're trying to save face. Maybe they're trying to elevate themselves because they feel ashamed that they're not people of principle. But you can rest assured that folks, even though they may disagree with your position, deep down, people generally admire men and women of principle. And you can rest assured of this as well. Whenever they want something done that they know needs to get done, and they need somebody that's trustworthy to handle a job, you know who they're going to ask. The person who is a person of purpose and principle. But more importantly, God blesses those who stand on right principles. Our society is in dire need of people that are led by principle instead of price. Daniel was a man of purpose, and he was a man of principle. He was also a man of purity. Daniel was a man of purity. Turn over to chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Look at the first four verses. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Think about that for a moment. Daniel is again being placed in high position in the government. And as some of his colleagues were seeing and finding out that he was being considered to be placed over the whole realm, they decided that they would cut his legs out from under him, stab him in the back. And so they started trying to find something that they could accuse him of, something in his business dealings, something that related to the kingdom that they might be able to find that they could pin to him to keep him from being placed in that position. They were trying to find the dirt. But they couldn't find any. Why? Because Daniel was a man of purity. He was a man of integrity. Don't you think if these men could have found just the slightest little anything that they could maybe build up and put some spin on it to where it looked like Daniel was some kind of a thief or some kind of person that was not responsible, something. They couldn't find anything. And so they said, if we're going to find anything on this guy, it's going to have to be in relation to his God, because we can't find it in his business. Why was Daniel able to have the success that he had? In large part because of his purity. But that purity in his business affairs was related to the other two points. His purpose to please God, and his decision to stand upon those principles. And that's the kind of purity that we ought to have. We sang about it a minute ago. Purer yet and purer I would be in mind. That ought to be our desire. To be purer people. Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. We sing that sometimes too. It's the kind of purity we need. What if someone were to analyze your business affairs? What if all of a sudden somebody came up and they decided that they were going to try to make your life miserable for you? And so they decided they'd try to dig up some dirt. Would they find some? Or would they be like these who are looking at Daniel and find nothing? We need to be people of purity and integrity. Be an example. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, the text that was read earlier, says this: "Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned." Notice this: "That one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." We ought to be trying to live our lives in such a way that if somebody tries to dig up the dirt on us, they will find no dirt. Paul said to Titus, "Conduct yourself in an honorable fashion, so that when those who are your opponents try to find something evil about you, that they'll end up being ashamed. The egg will be on their face." Hypocrisy really hurts the cause of Christ. We've heard the old excuse before of why some people don't attend worship, or they don't have any desire to study the Bible and be a member of the church, because the church is so full of hypocrites. You know, I've never argued with somebody over that. How can you? You know as many of them as I do. Now, that obviously doesn't relieve any individual of their responsibility to do what God wants them to do, hypocrites or not. I usually say to people as kindly as I can, you know, I'll choose to live with the hypocrites here, and you can choose to live with them in eternity if you want to. I'd rather have them here than have them in eternity. But the truth of the matter is, hypocrisy is killing us. Because people in the world don't always see much of a difference between them and us. That wasn't the case with Daniel. They saw a difference. People need to see a difference in us. If it's a dog-eat-dog world out there, and in a lot of ways it is, and if there are a lot of people out there that have little, if any, integrity, and there are, people ought to be able to see that we are not like that, because we're people of purity, just like Daniel was. Number four, Daniel was a man of prayer. Daniel was a man of prayer. Chapter 6, verse 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his window open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days." This was right after the decree was made that they were not to pray, show homage to any other god. But Daniel, as his custom was, don't you think that because Daniel was a man of prayer, customarily, habitually, that made him a man of purpose, a man of principle, and a man of purity? See, the prayer thing is what ties it all together. He prayed three times daily, giving thanks, right in the middle of a time of persecution, just as his custom was since the early days. God wants us to pray often. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Continue steadfastly in prayer, Colossians 4:2. And if we want our lives to be lives of purpose and principle and purity, it will only be when our lives are lives of prayer. Why? Because prayer opens the floodgates of God's providence. Do we want to be successful in life? Then we have to open the floodgates of providence. And we do that through prayer. Daniel did not get to where he got without God. And neither will we. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus said, John 15:4, "You have not because you ask not." James 4:2. Now some may ask and not receive because they ask amiss, the passage goes on to say, because they want to consume it on their own lusts. James 4:2 does not mean that whatever it is you want, for whatever reason, you just ask God for it and He's going to give it to you. No, we can ask amiss if we're asking with selfish motives. God won't grant those prayers. But how many of us are living day to day not enjoying blessings that God would so much want to give us simply because we fail to ask? Daniel was a man of prayer. And no doubt his prayer enabled him to enjoy the successes that he enjoyed. Didn't Jesus say, "Ask and you'll receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock, the door will be open." Matthew 7:7. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We know that if we ask those things and He hears us, we have the things for which we've asked. Now again, if we're asking things that are according to His will. God's not going to grant us things that we don't need. But there may be some things that would help us if we would but ask. Daniel was a man of prayer. We mentioned from chapter 1 verse 9 that God caused him to have favor in the eyes of his peers. God can providentially do much today in our lives individually if we'll trust His formula for success. Be people of purpose, people of principle, people of purity, and people of prayer. Now let me say this very clearly. Being like Daniel does not guarantee you a job as CEO of Microsoft. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that you can be as successful as God wants you to be in whatever area of service you have chosen to serve, if you will put to practice these principles. The point is, you don't have to play by the world's rules in order for God to bless your life. Let God determine what success is, and then live your life for Him and allow Him to bring you that success. God has promised us that if we will seek Him first, Matthew 6:33, we'll be successful in all of those areas of need that we have. Doesn't mean we'll ever have everything that we ever want. But all that we ever need, God will provide for us if we'll play by His rules. And that takes faith. It means we've got to trust that God knows what He's talking about. And if we'll do that and play by His rules, God will see that our lives are happy, contented, and without want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Psalm 23:1. And the first part of that is being a person of purpose. Have you made a firm decision yourself about what your life is all about and what you're going to do with your life? That's where it starts. You've got to make up your mind that you're going to do God's will come what may. And if you've not yet made that decision, that's where you've got to start. And you've got to make that decision and allow that purpose of mind to change your life. Believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son. John 8:24. Repent of your sins. Luke 13:5. Allow yourself to be immersed in water. for the forgiveness of your sins. You'll be raised to walk in newness of life. Romans 6:3-5. And you'll have spiritual blessings beyond your ability to count. Ephesians 1:3. Make up your mind to do that. Christian, are you a person of purpose, principle, purity, and prayer? If not, learn from Daniel tonight. And realize that your life can be happy, contented, and successful in God's eyes if you'll put those principles to practice. Perhaps you've decided that it's easier to play by the world's rules. It may be easier in one sense because it might make life a little more pleasant when you're around those that are unprincipled. But in the end, you lose. You lose because God's not pleased and your soul's not worth it. Come back to the Lord. Make a purpose in your mind and allow that to change your action.